Graham.
Welcome to Street Knowledge. I am Chris Graham, and I've got Scott German here with me. It's Monday, and it's a rare Monday after a win over for Virginia over an FBS opponent. And Scott, Cavs get the win, 38-18 over UConn on Saturday. And hey, it's a win over an FBS opponent, but the work does not get easier this week. Boise State Friday night, short week, traveling across the country to play on the blue field. You've been to the blue field, so you know all the ins and outs of Boise State as far as that goes. But your thoughts, first off, let's just go back to last week. Your thoughts on the UConn game?
Well, like you said, Chris, a win is a win. And when this program, when you're as win-deprived as we have been, as Virginia has been over the last 10 years, you can't really be critical of getting a win. But on the other hand, you and I both haven't seen a lot of football teams come into Scott Stadium. You gotta give me this. That was one of the worst FBS teams that probably graced the field over in Charlottesville, because they were pretty weak.
Well, they're weak. They're the same weak team that beat Virginia last year. I'll give them that. It got their coach fired last year. Randy Edsall back. Whatever good that does. Actually, I'd say whatever good that does. I'm sure there are a lot of UConn fans who think the same thing. But he is a guy who took that program to a BCS game back before he left from Maryland, had a flame out of Maryland, came back to UConn, Kelton, went his legs. And it's year one of his reign, his regime, and you know, yeah, that's not a, you know, there's coaches that get their teams fired aren't that good. There's a reason their coach got fired. Bob Diaco, after only three seasons, too. I mean, that tells you, UConn pulled the trigger real quick to get rid of him. They didn't, you know, the athletic department didn't like what they were seeing out of what Diaco was doing to build that program and just cut it off in the middle. So, yeah, not a great team, but hey, that said, well, win's a win. It wasn't just a, you know, I guess in my view, not a, you know, you didn't struggle to beat a bad team. You got up early on this bad team, and you put your foot on their neck. And that's, you know, that's the credit to a team that, a Virginia team that doesn't have a lot of success winning. They don't have a lot of memory of how to win a football game. And they went out there and, you know, kind of did what they needed to do to win that game.
They did. And again, the score was deceiving. It was a 20-point game that was more like a 40-point win.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't it certainly wasn't a case where Virginia pulled away late. They pulled away early and never looked back, which is a plus, because that's a good sign. They came out, they attacked early. They pretty much put the game away at halftime. They took care of business. And again, for a Virginia team that not used to having people say that they took care of business, that's a positive step. I will give you that. And I guess the real test will be how positive it was is what they do come Friday night.
Yeah, and that's going to be certainly a tough one. You're on the road at Boise State, a program that's had a lot of success dating back 15 years at least. They're a team that still has that chip on their shoulder of being a mid-major that doesn't get respect. They're playing a UVA team that's from a Power 5 conference. Anytime you're Boise State and you can get a pelt from a Power 5 school, you're looking to do that. Of course, they're playing Advantage, you know, Friday night. They play Friday nights all the time. They're playing out there, you know, they're going to fly across the country in a short week. Boise actually played Thursday night last week, so they have an extra day to prepare for this game. UVA has one less day to prepare for this game and traveled across the country. So, yeah, there's a lot stacked up there against Virginia, but I guess at least you're flying across the country with some positive thoughts and not negativity. After that Indiana game, boy, I didn't think things could get lower, and Virginia, give them credit, they turned around and came out and played well against UConn. But, yeah, this Boise State team, went over Washington State a couple weeks ago. Struggled a bit in a win over New Mexico this past week, a New Mexico team that we talk about UConn being among the worst teams in Division I football. New Mexico is right down there with them. and a 28-14 win for Boise State in that game, a pretty lackluster performance. So two teams coming in off of victories, but maybe there's a sliver of a door opening for Virginia to at least play well. I'm not suggesting Virginia wins this game at all, but at least a chance to maybe go out there and look decent on national TV, as opposed to the last time we saw Virginia play Boise State. Scott, you and I were there for that one. That was among the low points of a Mike Warren era.
Well, I don't know how it could get much lower when you fall behind in the game after 6 seconds of play.
Yeah.
That would be, in football, think about it, that would be awful hard to top that, would it not?
And you receive the opening kickoff before that, so it's your mistake that leads to that happening. Yeah, that was abysmal.
So to just give you a little facts or a little trivia about Boise, I have been to Boise. It's an absolutely spectacular city. Went out to see the Cavaliers play Fresno State in the Idaho Bowl. And the blue turf is really blue. It was a day game, and you really needed sunglasses because the turf was a bright blue. Don't know whether or not that's something to factor into the game or not. None of these current Cavaliers have played on that field, so. It's a unique area. It's a long trip. I'm sure the Cavaliers will have a better trip type accommodations than my traveling party did. We have to change planes about 9 times from Dulles. I'm sure they'll charter, but it's still a unique city to fly into. It's tucked away in the mountain, nestled in the mountains, and the climate is different. It's probably going to be very chilly Saturday night. Humidity will be non-existent, so a little different than what they were playing in on Saturday at Scott Stadium, so that might factor into it somewhat.
I'll jump in here, Scott, because I think that's important. A couple things you said there are important that has nothing to do with rosters or anything else, but Saturday at Scott Stadium, it was hot. It was, it wasn't 90 degrees, but it was 80 or so with humidity. You could see UConn. UVA has that opening drive, 10-minute drive, 9 minutes, 46 seconds, longest drive in UVA history. And you could see the UConn defense was already beaten. It was 7-0, and they were dead because they've been out on the field for 18 plays, 9 minutes, 46 seconds, on a hot day. They're coming from up in Connecticut where they didn't have any of these days preference for this game. Now, flip side, Virginia this week, the weather's going to be 80 to 85 degrees every day. As you mentioned, Scott, we're flying out west, going into a climate that's very different, and there's a factor there. And also, I wanted to ask you just more about the blue field. You didn't play on the blue field, but you were there. I want to get your impression. When you sat down in the stadium, and I sat down in some other stadiums, sometimes it takes a while to acclimate. I remember talking to some players after UVA played in the Big House in Michigan back in the mid-90s, and how they were looking around the field when they first got there for warm-ups, like, wow, this place is huge. At that time, Scott Stadium was 42,000 capacity, and they're playing in a 110,000-seat stadium. And it took them a while, even in warm-ups, to get used to that field, that the stands, the depth perception, everything else. From your standpoint, just as a fan, you talked about the blue field. It was in the daytime, so it was a little bit hard to adjust. But do you think that, you think there could be something to just – it's a little different. I mean, you play on green turf. Now you're playing on blue turf. Could there be enough of a difference there for guys who've never played on that it could maybe make a difference in some way?
Well, I think it could, because they've got it, especially for the younger players, well, for any of the players, because there's no current member of the roster that's played there. Virginia has never played there. This is only the second game that I believe it is one of my notes. It's the first game that they've ever hosted at home against an ACC school. They've played to Virginia Tech at a neutral site. So it will be different. The thing that when we walked, when I, the first I guess my first thought was, and this is going to seem kind of pompous, but it's kind of gaudy because it's nothing subtle about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's blue, and it is a deep, shiny blue. I think if anything, maybe just adjusting to the sideline might be, although they do have it pretty, not sure if they've changed the context of the sidelines or not, but the color contrast, but it was blue and orange, the orange being the sideline markers, field being blue, the yard markers were white. So that could pose somewhat of a problem, but here's something I was thinking about, and I'm almost willing to bet you that this week Cavaliers are going to spend some time over on the blue field that the women's field hockey team plays on.
That's interesting. That's an interesting thought. Yeah, that's an interesting thought.
I'm sure that football being the kingpin, they've kind of somehow or another equipped that field to somehow or another replicate the blue field they're going to be playing because it's exactly the same blue. And I don't, for our listeners, I don't know if they've ever had a chance to look at the blue field. The blue field is next to the cage, I believe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I believe it's the field hockey, women's field hockey. Am I correct?
And it's field hockey is in that same general vicinity as where the practice facility is for football anyway. So that is interesting. I had not thought about it. As soon as you said the blue turf, I knew where you were going. And yeah, because, one thing that – I was getting ready to joke. What can Bronco do? He put down blue on the turf at Scott Stadium, but you have
he just goes to his right a little bit.
Just goes to his right a little bit. Because one thing that pops up too is I don't know what color combinations and uniform boys he's going to wear on Friday night, but I presume obviously the blue that's in the field is part of their uniform colors. That could be an issue too. You're the court. If you're Kurt Fingerson in back there. You see all those guys surrounded by blue. And then you look across that line of scrimmage and you see guys wearing blue, just in the whirl of a play, how fast the game goes, could that lead to do a pull in the quarterback throw for, a higher rate of interceptions because they're throwing the ball thinking they're throwing it away and there's a blue jersey down center field. There's weird things like that. So what you're saying there, Scott, I think it's a great point. The blue field at the field hockey could certainly be at least a walkthrough there, if nothing else. Just do a walkthrough there.
Oh, yeah, a walkthrough and maybe let Benker throw some passes downfield against a defense that's wearing some type of blue over apparel or some type. Now, I looked at Boise State, and the one home game, their home uniforms, and they may be like Virginia, which they often change them up a little bit, but in their home game, I believe it was against Troy.
Uh-huh.
They had on almost entirely blue uniforms. They blend in with the field. The field is blue, of course. The yard markers are white, and the sidelines were orange on one side, white on the other. And the uniforms were predominantly all blue. White lettering that said Boise State, white numbers trimmed in orange. So that I'm certain is, Benkert's looking to throw downfield, and I'm sure the Cavaliers will probably be in predominantly white uniforms. Maybe a defender could blend in with the field a little bit. So thus the importance of maybe getting some plays over at the blue field that the field hockey team plays on and just kind of getting a feel for what it's like when those defenders are kind of blending right into the field itself.
Yeah, because I think a night game with a 7:30 start our time, 7:40-ish, I'm sure, kickoff time after the TV talkers do their job. But that's still less 4:40 that time, so it's not a night game in that sense. So you're still going to have the issue that you dealt with, Scott, and for at least a couple hours. I'm not sure what time sunset in Boise. I can look that up and maybe write about that later this week. But
What was that? The game time?
Yeah, the game time there will be a 4. I presume they're in the Pacific time zone.
No, on the notes that I saw, there the game against Virginia is at 6 p.m. No, they're in the Mountain time zone.
So 6 o'clock still at least, maybe the entire first half or most of the first half is probably in daylight, twilight, you know, but still some daylight out there. So the issue you dealt with as a fan when you were dealing with the blue field and the blue sky could be an issue for at least, you know, at least the first quarter, maybe part of the second quarter. So, yeah, it's just that kind of stuff. And that's why, you know, they put the blue field down. The NCAA doesn't allow it anymore. They've grandfathered them in, but that's an advantage they've got. You've got to do all this thinking in addition to the game planning to get ready for the game when you play them on the road.
I think the field aside, it could be somewhat, but I believe the fate of the Cavaliers is going to be squarely on the play on the field, obviously, and how Benkert comes back and the confidence that he maybe hopefully gained against UConn. But, you know, you can't discount how difficult this game is going to be for Virginia, regardless of how they play, because Boise State comes in with a chip on their shoulder. They always will, because they believe, and they've earned that right to believe, because they've played very well against the so-called Power Five schools. They've won 8 consecutive home games. They have a 24-game win streak against non-conference foes. And to show you to illustrate what I was speaking about, I was reading their news football information today about this game, and in the sports information department, they spend a tremendous amount of time telling you, the reader, about the success that Boise State has had against the Big Five, the Power Five schools. They tell you about their 2-1 since 2016. They talk about what their record against Power Five schools dating back to 2005. So they obviously want to have that play with that chip on the shoulder. They obviously do. So it's not that they're going to be, regardless of Virginia's record, how they perceive Virginia is as far as the quality of opponent. Virginia's going to have a target on their back because not just because of Virginia, but because of the ACC and Virginia represents.
Yeah, Virginia's in a conference with the defending national champion. So that's a chance for these Boise State kids who get recruited to do this too. You know, the kids who go there to play now, Boise State gets a little bit more of a pick of the litter than they used to get, but I'm sure there's still part of recruiting pitches. Hey, you got overlooked by X, Y, and Z. Come out here and play. Go out and beat these big boys and prove yourself. And so, Virginia definitely has a lot of uphill climb here as far as this week goes. Flying out west, a day less of preparation, the blue field, the chip on the shoulder of Boise State, and not to mention that Boise State has a pretty talented roster and a lot more success in recent years, certainly than UVA now. I guess one thing, if there's anything, former BYU coach Bronco Mendenhall now in his second year at UVA, at least has some experience coaching against Boise State in that environment. He didn't play, and he won't play in this game, obviously being a coach, but at least he and his staff can relate maybe some of what it's going to be like for the game to their players going into this game. That could be at least a little bit of a help, I suppose.
I'm certain, and considering that Bronco's surrounded by just about his entire staff that was with him at BYU, he's not going to have to spend a lot of time educating his assistants on what BYU is going to throw or what Boise State is going to throw at Virginia.
So, recap, I guess, from last week. You know, you talked about Kirk Benkert and what his turnaround from the week before. The Indiana game was a low point for Benkert. Last week was his own school passing record, 455 yards in the game for Virginia. I think even more key than Benkert there, and of course, he's obviously key, he's a quarterback, but the offensive line last week, for the first time all season, really, maybe the first time in 2 years under Bronco Mendenhall, actually had a decent game. Only allowed one sack. Benkert really wasn't pressured that much outside of that one sack, maybe a couple other times. No official quarterback hurries for Connecticut's front seven. And Virginia's offensive line cleared the pass for 5.5 yards per carry on the ground. Virginia ran for 171 yards, put up 626 yards of offense. I don't know the last time I even thought about Virginia putting up 600-plus yards of offense in the game. But the line was the key. And, you know, just like it was weak in the first 2 weeks, it's strong last week in the win over UConn. And that's clearly, you know, if Virginia's going to have a chance to win this game on Friday night, it's going to be with the offensive line continuing to play the way they did against UConn.
Well, that offensive line was the key because Benkert had time. It looked like he had his confidence back, opened up some holes. You know, that he had such a phenomenal passing game that your illustration just a second ago about the running game, the rushing, I really hadn't even thought of that. But 175 yards, that's nothing to sneeze at on the ground. I mean, it's not what I think ultimately – the program's going to need to be at to be successful, but it's certainly an improvement over what they had produced the first two games.
That's right. Yeah, so Friday night, 7:30. Now Scott and I will get together. We'll talk. We'll do more of a Boise State pregame a little bit later this week, Wednesday or Thursday this week. Kind of want to recap UConn, look ahead to Boise State. And so we'll then, of course, Friday night, we'll do a live vlog. We won't be at the game in Boise, but we'll do a live vlog from our home base here in Virginia. That'll go live at 7:30 Friday night. And, of course, we'll have all the postings. Can imagine thereafter. I'm sure Scott and I will try to get together and do a podcast recapping the game Friday night as well. So this is just the start of our UVA Boise State Week here on Augusta Brief Rest. And I want to thank you for listening and tune in some more this week. And we'll try to get you ready for